Jeff, 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 Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff, Jeff, Jeff.
Jeff Stein's our national and presidential Jeff, expert. Jeff, noted Jeff, author. Find his books Jeff, over at Next Chapter Books, totallyiowa.com. The Iowa Business Report and the Iowa Politics Report comes to us from KXEL Cedar Falls, Waterloo. Hi, Jeff.
You know, the avatar, whatever it is that they use to put on the screen here,
yes,
where you're in a full body cast and wheelchair.
Yes.
You've never looked so good.
That is a style. That is something.
Yes, it is. It is something. That's exactly right.
Well, you see, what happened is I had one shot from Pfizer, and I was a perfectly fine, healthy human being. And next thing I know, body cast with balloons. That's darn you, vaccines.
Anyway, died suddenly.
And you don't want to see my crotch. I got to be honest. You don't want to know what's going on down there. Anywho.
I've known you for decades, and that has never crossed my mind to examine your crotch, and so thanks for that.
You're welcome. Okay, so I'm gonna start the show this segment off with a little thing I call "What the Hell, Iowa." I got Axios Des Moines bringing up the point. First of all, let's start with the House Republicans in Iowa. Now, I find it hilarious personally, as a Christian myself, that people who scream they're the most Christian of us all seem to not have the gospel of Matthew or Luke in their Bibles, where feeding the hungry without really any kind of thing in there is kind of pretty cut and dry. Some House Republicans in Iowa are pushing this idea that we have seen in other places where they would not be able to get fresh, you know, people on food stamps, SNAP benefits, would not be able to get fresh meat, white breads, cheese slices, also things, baked, refried, or chili beans, cooking oil, spices, salt, pepper would have to be crossed off the shopping list, along with soup, canned vegetables, and fruit. Fresh meats are off the table. Also, sliced, cube, crumbled, and American cheese would be eliminated. Okay. Hey, I live down there.
For fine, right? You can still
What's that?
Get your cigarettes.
Oh, well, I don't know. I want to just stop for a second. I lived down there.
You did.
I knew a lot of conservatives. Mm-hmm. They were nothing like this. They weren't that demented lunch school lady who rips the lunch cart tray away from a 6-year-old kid in the lunch line saying, "You can't have this hot food." I mean, it wasn't that. Where is this coming from? I mean, this is not the Iowa I knew when I lived down there.
It has really struck a lot of people, because what they say they're trying to do is just think of what you can purchase with what's existing on the list or with the Women, Infant, and Children program. I don't know that it's the same audience, right? In other words, the SNAP benefits have many older children. I don't know that, you know, a 6-month-old needs fresh meat, right? So I don't know where the genesis of this came from. It is catching all sorts of heck because it doesn't make logical sense. And I'd be really surprised if you're going to get 51 Republicans to vote for it as currently proposed.
It does. There is this tendency, I think, from both political parties. You saw it in the Diamond and Silk when Diamond passed away. Mm-hmm. And immediately Democrats, and I chewed some of them out, were saying she died of COVID. I said she could have died of a lot of different things. She ended up dying of heart disease was what she actually died of. But they just wanted to rub that into their face. And it's like, that's ugly and you can't do that. Same thing goes on the Republican side. There just is this, I'm going to go out with a smile on my face, find a hungry family, rip those food benefits away from them, and say, this is what you deserve. And And these are, once again, the same people that claim to be Christians, which is that is has nothing to do with Christianity. That's just mean. And it's really hard to see people just so eagerly embellish the meanness, especially on a large scale like this.
I don't know where it came from, as I mentioned. It almost looks like some idiotic, bureaucratic, let's just sync things up sort of thing, which, again, makes no sense whatsoever, because the food that you need as an infant, I mean, I don't have children, you do, and I think you remember what they ate as infants is not what they eat as teenagers and college, young adults, college students. So I really don't know where that came from. It does not make any sense. There's so much attention focus, and this is where I wonder if they're being too clever by half. There's so much attention focused on that part. Hardly anyone is focused on the fact that the same law would require a form of workfare, Clinton-era workfare, in order to get, quote-unquote, welfare. I wonder if they're throwing that out there so then the other stuff doesn't look so bad. I don't know, but have you tried child care lately? That's why we have a huge issue with regard to employment. We don't have good child care in this state to the degree necessary so that we can have a growing workforce.
Everywhere,
so
too.
Right. I mean,
everywhere,
I know what
too,
I
on that one. That one's a bad one everywhere right now.
Exactly. So the concept of saying, in theory, well, if you're going to get these government benefits, then you have to work a certain amount of time. Okay, fine. Unless you've got four children under the age of six and it's summertime or it's a school vacation or whatever. I mean, I talk to young parents, young 35, 40-year-old people, who, when there's a snow day, holy cow, you know, they got to leave work. There's no child care. The child care closes during interim breaks when you need child care. It's a real issue. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, again, on the face of it, saying, well, if you're going to get a benefit you need to work for, well, that's fine. But what other issues domino from that? And I don't think there's been a good examination of that yet.
In Minnesota, 2 years ago, we had a Republican, Tori Westrom, went out there and said, we're not going to use SNAP benefits at the farmer's market, to which even the Republicans are made. You mean the farmers having a local community market? I mean, let's face it. Food stamps at a farmer's market is like the perfect example of how government can work. The local farmer gets their product to the market. It gets purchased by hungry people who need good quality, healthy food. They get paid. Everyone gets paid. It's a happy day. You know, it just was like, why are you going out of your way to be a jerk? And especially in that case, in that scenario, it was the double-edged sword where you're hurting the local farmer, too.
People who probably say, I'm paying too much in taxes, they'll gladly take the SNAP benefits in exchange for their produce because, look, I'm getting some of my tax dollars back. Yes, it's stupid at a variety of levels.
And I know farmers. I know that they would look at, oh, you're great. You're taking some lettuce. You're taking this. I'm going to feel really good about you eating good food. I mean, that's, yeah.
They're proud of what they produce, for crying out loud.
Heaven forbid we actually do something that works. Now, I got to also, my second part of what the hell, Iowa. Yes. Okay, so Kim Reynolds, did they tone down? Okay, so I read through this. Okay. In her original voucher program school bill, after the third year, wealthy parents, the wealthiest people in Iowa, whose kids have gone through private school the entire time, would be then eligible to have their private school tuition, even though they've never really had to worry about it or they can afford it 1,000 times over. They will be able to get their private school tuition paid for by the middle and lower class through their taxes going into the public school system. That was something that was looking like it was a sticking point. Did that ever get changed, or is that now the law? In 3 years, basically, the wealthiest people in Iowa can get their private school tuition paid for by the middle and lower class.
Well, you're not getting your private school tuition paid for. You're getting an educational savings account with a certain dollar amount, and whether that covers tuition or not, I don't know. Okay? The majority – here's what it does do. What it does is it says – that every student is eligible for an educational savings account. Now, the reason why that phrase is important is The measure that didn't pass either of the previous 2 years was unconstitutional, and they found the wrinkle. And so I'll tell you, because somebody else found it in another state, and now it's catching fire. So the idea is that each public school gets about $18,000 a year from the state per pupil. And so this would siphon off $7,500 of that. So the majority of the money that has been going to a public school per pupil still goes there, even if the student does it. Then they added an additional pool of money that had not been there before for public schools to take into account defections to private schools. The public schools will net less money. They'll also have fewer students, arguably. And they're treating every student the same, regardless of income. So if you want to make the point that someone, some family who's already been able to afford public school is now getting a state benefit that they may not need, you can make that argument because it's not means-based. It's based upon the individual student. And so the dollars move with the student. The dollars no longer move with the school district, but just a percentage of it. Majority still goes to the existing school districts, and it's tiered in over a 3-year period.
But the school districts are all taking a hit, and that they're all going to have less money. The school districts are. Now, okay, first of all, there's a few different things about this. One, you can't get every kid out of a private school. And let's step back for a quick second. Republicans' mentality towards public school is the following. Use voucher charter schools to basically take away a certain percentage of the public school population, create a budget issue there because there is not a single freaking business on the planet that you can cut their budget by 15-20% and somehow get a better product. Eventually, the schools start to fail. You bring in a private charter school group to run the state's school district, and everyone gets taught a test. The quality of schools plummet, but hey, a lot of people make a lot of money. That's how this has gone. This has gone in Mississippi, Louisiana, many other states as well, where conservatives have put this game plan into place. This is step one, create a voucher system. I will also say that in states where they've put this voucher system into place, there have been indeed, the wealthiest, consistently the wealthiest people in these states have their school benefits paid for by the middle and lower class. That is, there as much as everyone says the same thing, oh, this is not going to favor anyone. Funny, somehow it always ends up favoring them, whether that's local pressure by the school district or whoever the case may be. That being said, you and I have both you've lived there a lot longer than I live down there. This is going to cripple these small schools, which have had to merge with other schools. I understand you're saying it's not that much money. The reality is those schools were running on a whisper-thin budget even when I was back there 23 years ago.
No, and you're right about that part. But here's the thing. The one thing that is important about this is you have to have a private school to go to. And this was the first thing that the rural district, this is why it did not pass for the first 2 years that it was proposed, because the rural school district said, we're going to be crippled because if we lose any fraction, we're already on the margins. If we lose any fraction of students, any fraction of dollars, we're going to have a problem. But it was found out that a majority of Iowa counties don't have private school options.
I saw that story too. Okay. I'm like, how are you doing this?
You beats me. I'm not in Des Moines, okay? But so in a very real sense, there's no competition for the private school in a rural area. So therefore, there are no options for those parents. You could say, however, well, now that there's going to be this educational savings account, you know, build it and they will come, another Iowa phrase. Maybe now there will be that. But the fact of the matter is, you can be sitting in a majority of counties in this state and say, oh, great, little Tommy's going to get an educational savings account. You're not going to have a place to spend it. And that was actually admitted then finally by the rural lawmakers when this was debated this week, was the fact that, you know, realistically, now that the Cedar Rapids Gazette has published the survey showing that there aren't as many private school options as we once thought, it's going to have more of an impact in the bigger cities. And oh, wait, those are the ones that have already been targeted for woke curriculums. So to take this full circle, if this is designed to affect woke curriculum and try to cripple some of these schools in big metro areas that are seen to be the problem, well, you might be on to something there.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I weep for this rural school districts in Iowa. I think they're going to get wiped out by this. And there's also
but
I
how?
Was reading.
Tell me how. Because I was worried about it too, right? Because well, I'm a product of rural schools.
Because they're saying that people that can have a cabin can actually claim the cabin as their residence and get the dollars out of these smaller districts where there might be not a lot of people. There are a lot of loopholes in this bill that basically are not addressed, and that can be. And if so, say you have you're a wealthy farmer and you have farming in a bunch of districts. You can pick and choose which district is, even though your kid goes to a private school in Des Moines, can shop around until you get the money out of this. That was one of the concerns. Here's the thing: will it survive a Supreme Court challenge? Because basically, and here's where it gets really ugly. The bill says the schools can openly discriminate against LGBTQ students and deny them access under this voucher program. The first thing I said is, well, that does get to the Supreme Court. I understand it's conservative, but that's pretty clear that you're violating people's rights.
Well, I don't think the bill says you can discriminate against these students.
They can turn down. It says they can deny access to a private school under the idea that it's LGBTQ students. They can use that specific reason to deny a kid into that school.
The private schools have always been able to do that, and they can still do that. All right. Now, here's the thing to your point. I asked on my program the state auditor. The job of the state auditor is to be the watchdog. There's even a drawing of a dog in the logo. A dog in a treasure chest is the logo of our state auditor.
Is there a piece of corn in there, too?
There is not. There is everywhere else.
Okay.
And it looks like the guy's 3-year-old daughter drew it. But that's not the point. The point is, I said, and he's a Democrat, and he thought this was terrible because of the lack of transparency. There's no accountability with money to private schools, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, all right, so you're going to sue them when this passes? And he said, we're really going to have a cause of action. We're really going to have to look at it strongly. So the bill was signed 11 o'clock Tuesday. So that's yesterday. So however many hours, 30 hours ago, there has not to this point been a lawsuit because it hasn't taken effect. It's premature, but you can bet there will be a trans student. There will be an LGBTQ student. There will be someone who will apply to a private school and be denied. And there's your test case because now you have a cause of action.
And that's what it's going to be. And I can understand why your auditor wouldn't say that, because, like I said, you need to have the case. But the second this does happen.
He's also a lawyer. He worked for the attorney general. But you know that that's what he's working on to support, because he's talking about transparency. Now, this was the thing I mentioned a moment ago. I'll say it as quick as I can. Before, they were talking about awards to schools, private schools. So that's literally public dollars going to private schools with no transparency, no public records, no accountability. That's why it would have failed had it been taken to a vote. That's why they couldn't get a majority. Now they've done what I literally called laundering, where they're not giving the money from the state to the private school. They're giving the state to little 12-year, the state is giving the money to little 12-year-old Matt McNeil, whose parents set up an educational savings account. And little Matt's now going to go to this private school, and the money comes from his account to the school. Therefore, it's no longer public dollars going to a private school. That seems to me to be laundering to get around the issue of public dollars going to private schools with no accountability. The auditor sort of conceded that, yep, they got us on that one, because that's the hook. That's the scam. That's what got 55 votes. But keep in mind, 9 Republicans defected. They needed to have 64 Republicans in the chamber to get the majority of 55. If that tells you anything about it.
Well, and it tells me your auditor is not really good. I'm going to be blunt about it. I will say this, too. It's going to be interesting.
It's not like he could stop it. He's the only Democrat left in the Capitol. I mean, if he wants to have a meeting of Democrat state office holders, he just goes to his office. He doesn't need any more room. Table for one, please.
I will say this before we get into the break is that it's one thing for the Supreme Court to say you can't discriminate issuing public dollars to a private school, even if it's a religious private school. It's another thing to say that private dollars, that the private school taking the private dollars, the public dollars, basically, even if it's being laundered, can basically sit there and say, but you can't be in there, because let's face it, if they say LGBTQ kids can't be in there, they can easily say then black kids can't be in there, or Hispanic kids can't be in there, or Native American kids can't be in there. And I do not think the Supreme Court, even as conservative as it is, wants to set that precedent, although, you know, Clarence Thomas seems to. Let's take a break, come back. Pence documents now. They're everywhere. Jeff Stein joining us with his usual weekly visit, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Matt McNeil. Jeff Stein, furious at me because I'm making him defend all of Iowa, and he just doesn't want to do that.
Oh, I got plenty of reasons to be furious at you over the years. So this is nothing. Just bring it on, buddy.
Mike Pence, you know, the thing that was crazy when and so what happened, Mike Pence basically said, once again, I'm not going to get too upset with Mike Pence. And the reason why is he said, okay, out of due diligence, I'm going to have my lawyer go through, find anything, let me know. And he did. What was it? Five documents. Mm-hmm. They turn it back over and stuff. And once again, the difference between Mike Pence, the difference between Joe Biden, and the difference between versus Donald Trump is Trump basically, I had the magic wand and I made them all unclassified. I don't have them. You can't give them. I'm done. Nope. I'm perfect. Everyone else is like, here you go. We didn't mean to have these. The thing which I found to be interesting was clearly the frustration by a lot of Republican lawmakers who, when Pence announced he had some documents, the feeling is that they've closed the door. At least it makes it more difficult to be able to split these lines and say, okay, Joe Biden and Pence, they were so excited about going after Joe Biden on this. Now it's almost impossible for them not to go after Pence as well. And I don't think a lot of Republicans want to do that.
Well, they were going after Biden because he had said how irresponsible, that was his word, Trump was to have these. And then you find that Biden has them dating back to his Senate days, his vice presidential days. I don't know, when he was an honor student at Delaware, whatever. What it just shows is that I'm out of the loop. I don't have any. Do you have any?
No, but Pence also did the same thing. Pence said it's irresponsible to have them. I don't have any here. And that kind of kills it, too.
He was not as declarative. But what it does do for Republicans, to your point, if it looks like everybody's doing it. See, that was why they went after Biden, because they were saying, look, if Biden's got them, then Trump isn't bad. They're trying to conflate the two together. You were very careful to separate them. We'll see if it just becomes this. Well, it's Washington and everybody has them and who knows who packs up their office. I mean, we've talked about that here where, you know, Trump wasn't standing there with a cheeseburger and a Diet Coke putting documents in a banker's box. Somebody else did it. Now, was it at his direction? It's a whole different conversation. But the point is, like Pence. OK, found him. Here you go. Biden, found him. Here you go. I understand why Pence started looking, because it's kind of like, well, they're going to ask next. It just means we're classifying too darn much stuff.
I just think you guys put it back. I still owe for green eggs and ham from the Wickford Elementary School library in Rhode Island. You got to pay it back. Jeff Stein, once again, will spotlight this Iowa Politics Report. We'll post it later. Hour two is coming up next.